Al, the day has broken and it is time to talk about it.
Yay!
You don't, Al's, you know, not that excited about this, so don't let her less than stellar enthusiasm make you think otherwise.
Influence how you're feeling.
Exactly. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the seasonal Anime Joke Up OVA. It's a podcast where you have conversations about video games, anime, and manga. Hello, I'm Jared, joined as always by Doc, Al, and Lady
Hello.
This is episode number 413, and we are discussing The Legend of Heroes Trails Through Daybreak.
Yee.
Game number 11 in the Trails series.
Uh-huh.
lots of video games that they've made for the series.
Just a few.
Yes, I finally have played through this game, even though, you know, it came out in the summer, but, you know, that's just how things go sometimes, and now we're going to talk about it. Al's been champing at the bit to talk about this here video game since the summer, and just like, I'm just over here like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. yes, this game originally came out on the PlayStation 4, you may have heard of it. In Japan on September 30th, 2021. Back when we were getting, what, like, Cold Steel 3 or 2? One of them. And then it came out over here worldwide on the PlayStation 5 for PC and Switch on July 5th, 2024. A couple years after the fact. We're catching up slowly but surely to the to these releases. We're only two behind now.
Yeah, and we're getting another one in February, so... Yeah,
then we'll be one behind.
Speedy.
Yeah.
I'm happy for it. Yeah. I'll take that.
This is a new arc for the series, the Calvert arc, taking place in the Calvert continent? Country?
Country.
I couldn't remember which way. So, yeah.
It's the Republic of Calvert.
We have not been here before.
We've heard a lot about it.
Yes, it's a place we've heard a lot about throughout all those other games, and now we're finally here. And yeah, this is a new story arc, new characters, a whole lot of new to be had here. So, like, I think if you've played any of these games before and you've played, like, the beginning arc of one of these games, you kind of have an idea of what to expect here.
Yeah.
You're going to get, like, you know, your slow burn, getting to know these characters, setting up stories, all that sort of stuff. No cliffhanger. Much more in line with the Crossbell games in that regard.
Yeah, that's what I said when you beat it.
Yeah. But it's definitely a ending that sets up, like, hey, there's still some unanswered questions here that we got to figure out at some point. And obviously we will when the next game comes out in February. So there is, of course, that.
Also, new gameplay style.
Yes, we'll dive into that here in a little bit. Okay. Let's talk about the development and the reception, sales, all that fun stuff of this game.
Okay.
Trails Through Daybreak marks the start of the second half of the series narrative. 11 games in.
Sorry.
In the beginning of a new story arc that continues with its sequels, Trails Through Daybreak 2 and Kai no Kiseki. Features a new proprietary game engine by Falcom that replaced their original engine used, or the other engine they used in the Cold Steel series. Like we said, it was released in Japan on September 30th, 2021. They put it out in other Asian regions and also on PS5 in July of 2022. And a PC port in Chinese and Korean. There was a fan translation for this game, but eventually got cease and desisted by NIS America. Presumably because, hey, we're going to put out a version of this game.
Right.
They did put out a Japanese version, a port of the PC version for U.S. audiences on March 1st, 2023, which is weird. And then put it out, like we said, in July of this year, along with a Switch version. When this game came out in Japan, the PS4 version was the highest-selling physical game of its release week, selling an estimated 50,100 copies. It remained on the weekly top 30 sales chart for another 2 weeks, reaching a total of 58,300 physical copies sold. The PS5 version debuted at the bottom of the chart, selling 2,400 copies.
Because nobody has a PlayStation 5 yet at this point, yes. When it debuted.
And it also says the English release was received well by critics, with it being cited as a good place for newcomers to the series to begin. How well is it a good place to begin? I guess let's take a look and see how. What do the critics think of Trails Through Daybreak, if I can find it?
I mean, I don't think it's a bad place to start. I mean, both of us started with Cold Steel, which a lot of people are like, don't start with Cold Steel. You got to start with Sky. That's the way to do it. Blah, 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 blah. But the way that I see it is start at the beginning of an arc.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go back and get some of the references and know some of the characters that pop up, then like, cool, go play the older ones. But like, I don't see it as a bad thing to start with Daybreak. You're not going to like miss out on extreme plot points if you start with it. Cause I mean, they don't even have like some of the things that you would normally have in a Trails game. Like there's not a whole lot of like Ouroboros running around and,
like they are here technically, but they're kind of just more subdued and in the background, just kind of chilling.
Right. Right. And I mean, we know there was a deal made.
Yes, there are things happening in the background within this country that, you know, pertain to some of that stuff. So, like, obviously, that stuff is going to come up at some point again.
Right. But I mean, like I said, we started at Cold Steel, and I think that was a fine place to start. And yeah. I think that Daybreak would also be a fine place to start.
On the Open Critic, this has an 85 out of 100. So, yes, the critics thought it was a good game.
It's because it is a good game.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like, if you're looking to get into the series, just go at any of the arcs and just, like, decide which one you want to go for. And pick the first one of those, obviously.
Yeah, the key is start with the first in the arc.
Yeah, I think the thing that is going to be a big proponent for you, whether you want or which series or which arc you want to choose, is like, you know, what the gameplay is, because obviously like the Sky games and the Crossbell games are very different from the Cold Steel games, which is also different from this game. So it's just I think it would depend more on like what kind of gameplay style you're looking for, and like, you know, if graphics matter to you, art style, all that sort of stuff. So but yeah, this again, like you said, I think this is a fine starting point. There's a bunch of new characters, like the characters that like return from previous games. It's not like you super need to know who these people are in order to understand the story. Like they kind of like give you hints here and there. And like, if you go back and play the other games, you'll obviously understand more about who those characters are and everything. And yeah.
But I mean, like you haven't played Sky.
No.
But, like, you weren't confused by the presence of Jin.
No, I knew who he was.
Right, like, he's been mentioned several times, and, like, you're aware that he exists. So it's who is this big man? And, you know, they make it pretty clear, like, him and Walter have, like, a rivalry going. That's interesting.
Which I didn't know, like Walter was, like, a dude in other games as well. That yeah, I didn't know.
He was in Sky.
But I'm guessing he's not like a big proponent in that game.
Oh, he's an antagonist.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, I just thought he was just a new dude for this game. I was like, all right.
No. He's an Ouroboros antagonist in Sky.
I guess it makes sense why they would have like a rivalry if he wasn't like a big proponent in those games. It'd be very weird. So yeah, I guess that makes sense. But yeah, I did not know he was a thing in the other games. I thought it was just like, oh, these two just have a rivalry. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and Killica is part of it too.
Right.
Yep. So the three of them were the same, like, school. I was going to, not like educational school, like martial arts school.
Yeah, fighting style school, I would say.
And like there was conflict there, but I mean, they even make it pretty clear in this game, like, hey, these two have a rivalry of sorts. Like,
right.
You got that even though you didn't know that he was a big character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be the same thing with, like, B. Like, oh, cool, she's here. That's neat. She kind of tells you what she's about.
Yeah, and also, like, she mentions Reen a couple times, so you'd automatically be like, oh, okay. You know, she knows Rien Schnauzer, so Rien clearly Schnauzer. She was part of the Cold Steel games in some mm-hmm. capacity.
So, like, you might miss a reference, like her making a phone call to the Zephyr guys.
Yeah, which is very weird that they don't, like, name them in that cutscene.
It is really weird, but I guess because, like, Van doesn't know who they are. He's just hearing voices.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's their perspective. I don't know. That's the only thought I can come up with on it.
Or you get Fetus talking about how she goes drinking with Rien and Laura, and I was like, yeah, power couple, let's go.
Hell yeah. Except for I don't.
It's okay to be wrong, but you know.
Rien and Toa forever.
So yeah, whole bunch of new characters. We've got a new gameplay system here. Mm-hmm. Which I think is very good. I really enjoyed the more free-flowing combat in this game where essentially, you know, like previous games, you could like go up and like bonk enemies on the field. And like, if you got to, you could like kind of stun them if you did that and get an advantage that way, but you couldn't like necessarily mm-hmm. just like fight them on the field. Here, you could just like, I'm just going to sit there and whack the X button and dodge and beat these enemies on the field. I'm not going into battle and just like do it that way. And I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And even when you get into fights themselves, like, there's way more, like, the characters aren't just rigid in place. You don't have to, like, spend a movement action to, like, move them around. It's like, I'm just going to move you around, and you're going to go here. There's no more, like, linking together, like, rigidly linking characters together like you could in, like, Cold Steel. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, it's more like you put two characters together, and they'll just, like, attack with each other, and, like, they'll get bonuses that way. Which is very fun.
Right. And but, I mean, it's position-based as opposed to, like, having to set it in a menu.
So, like, you don't necessarily are going to have, like, two characters getting the same bonuses together. Like, you could have, like, Van right at the front. He attacks. And then you'd have the rest of your party members just surround him and, like, get bonuses to attack with him as well. So he could, like, follow up attack on their attacks, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like the battle system in this. I think it's a really good evolution of what they've had within the series.
I agree.
I think you can kind of tell how it was kind of going from the way the Cold Steel games were from 1 and 2 to 3 and 4 now to this. So yeah, I think they made a really good evolution of their combat system, and it's much more fun to do, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it's also nice, like, when it's like a little baby guy on the field, like, and you just go, nope, like, bunk.
Dead.
You're dead. Goodbye. Get out of here. Get out of here, scrub.
Or if I'm just lazy and I don't want to get into a fight, and he's like, X, 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 X.
Bear will just yell at the whole time, like, you can use the thing and get the start of battle.
You're charged up. You're ready. No.
No. I refuse.
So, yeah, I like that a lot. I think the core of the game itself, like the loop of the game, is very similar to the previous games. It's where it's like, you know, you're going and doing quests, you'll do those, and then story will happen, and then like a next day will happen, and let's say more quests are here, go do mm-hmm. those, more story will happen, and you know, it's kind of, that's how these games have been, you know, from their inception essentially.
Yep.
So that really hasn't changed all too much. I did like that you could eat food and gain bonuses for eating food.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was nice. At first, I was just like skipping over food because, like, that's whatever, it's food. Who cares? And then I saw there was like a system of, like, you know, if you eat these food, you'll get bonuses for it. And then, like, all your characters will get like bonus stats and everything. I was like, yo, I need to go buy all the food and cook all the meals and then like never use them for their intended purposes. Cause I'm just like on the battlefield, or I'm just like in town, just like scarfing down all this food to get points.
Same. It's like, oh God, they're going to puke.
Van just yelling, love me a sugar rush. Love me a sugar rush. Love me a sugar rush.
Yep. That's exactly what it was.
Just over and over and over again.
Over and over and over again.
Is there anything else that's new in here that we should mention in terms of like how the game is and everything? Big old flip phones.
The morality system?
Yeah, okay, yeah, that is a thing, yeah. So, like, because of the way, like, Van is and his company is, you can take on different jobs that pertain to, like, you know, more traditional, like, bracer works. You could help criminals and sometimes, like, you know, even darker people as well. Depends on, like, you know, who they are and everything and all that sort of stuff. And depending on what actions you do within those missions, sometimes you'll get a choice at the end. It'll be like, hey, you want to do either this or this? And those choices will give you points on your morality chart, which I think is like law, gray, and chaos.
Correct.
So depending on which ones you do or what choice you do, you'll get points to one of those three. And depending on how leveled up those slots are, essentially, will make things different in the game later on in terms of, like, you know, characters you might run into or fights you might run into or choices you're able to get, essentially. So it's like it's pertinent to make sure you have that stuff leveled up and also, like, mm-hmm. leveled up in a way that, like, it's kind of even around to where you're able to get all the stuff that you want, especially later on in the game. I know it is a thing for, like, they really want you to play New Game Plus with this because mm-hmm. there are, like, super bosses, or not really necessarily super bosses, but, like, secret bosses hidden in the end, depending on if, like, you have those three things leveled up to the max rank.
Correct.
Like, these secret bosses will show up at the final dungeon. But you can't do that in the in your first run, really, because there's just not enough points to go around to really do that. Unless, I guess, you really hardlined into one mm-hmm. lane, you could, but you'd only probably be getting, like, one of those.
One of them.
Instead of all three, but yeah.
Right.
I thought that was interesting, because especially, like, with how this game is set up, is essentially, you know, the Sky games are, you know, the Bracer games, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Except for three, which is just Kevin being Kevin. Crossbell is, you know, your pseudo cops, essentially.
Yeah.
Investigators. Cold Steel is the military. You know, these mm-hmm. are three big things that revolve around this continent in terms of, like, big forces that are, you know, driving things and, you know, doing all this stuff. And then you have this game and this series, essentially, where it's like you're kind of not any of those.
Right.
You're your own thing. You're in the gray area. You're neither white nor black. If Monokuma was here, he would not say that he's feeling white or black today. So, yeah, I think it was interesting that, like, you know, we get this character that kind of will do things in either of those directions, but not necessarily mm-hmm. has to do things in those directions. Like, he can kind of, like,
right.
do things in a completely opposite direction. He can do things that are, like, you know, a little bit more shady, or maybe a lot more shady.
A lot more shady sometimes.
In terms of what he's doing and everything. So I think that's interesting that, like, each of these arcs has a very different, like, idea of, like, what the characters are going to be doing and, like, their
perspectives on
their
the
perspectives,
world that they
live in. So I think that's interesting.
It's also fun that you can just yell at a couple, get a divorce.
Yeah, you can.
He's like, oh, but I like my wife.
Get a divorce.
Get a divorce.
Somehow that brings them together.
I'm glad we both picked get a divorce in that situation.
It's definitely funnier.
It's so funny. But I mean, like, that's how he does things sometimes, is he'll just, like, use kind of like a manipulative tactic to get them to come around to what he thinks that they should do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in that instance, it was get a divorce.
Get a divorce.
And they're like, wait a minute. No, no, no. We don't want to go that extreme.
And then.
Very funny.
All the time he's getting dunked on for being old despite being like 25.
Yeah. I think he's 24.
Either way, that's not old enough to be dunked
on. It's not old enough to be an old man. Yeah. Like everybody, especially Aaron.
Grandpa. Like, huh?
It's like, damn, Aaron, he's only got 5 years on you. Chill out.
It's like when everyone would call Kiryu Grandpa and he's like, I'm 40.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could be if, like, things had gone differently, but, like, bro.
Come on.
Yeah. We get a very interesting, eclectic group of characters in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Van is our protagonist. You know, he's kind of... He is the gray character. He does things his way. He does things if he wants to do them the nice way, the mean way, the in-between way, whatever way he feels like. And he gets wrapped up in this whole weird plot that he's just like, right? And he's got some interesting backstory that isn't revealed until the very end of the video
very end.
Game.
So, he also runs Arkwright Solutions.
Yes, which is like
his Spriggan office.
Spriggan service. I like how Wikipedia describes him as a bounty hunter and a problem solver for hire.
I would go more with problem solver for hire.
I mean, I guess both are technically true, but also it's just very funny that's the way to describe it.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So you meet your various party members, of course, like Agnes, who is the first party member you meet. She's the very first like character Van meets in the game because she's like, I got this problem and I need help, and can you help me with this?
I will bribe you with cake.
I am a student. Hello. I am from the high school here. Mm-hmm. Please help. They do the job together, and she gets hired on, and now she's working there as part-timer.
Mm-hmm.
You meet Fairy, who is a Jaeger, who gets disowned from her Jaeger clan and then just is now working there at Arkwright Solutions because that's just how things go.
Yep. She's like 13, I think.
Yeah, she's a youngin'.
She's a baby.
You meet Aaron, who is a... theater performer. He is a little
he is such a little
he is quite the character.
Aaron is my favorite character in this. I love Aaron so much. He's also like really good gameplay wise. So I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. You're never leaving, kid. You know, you don't have a choice. You're stuck with me.
Yeah.
He is such a little
he always calls Van grandpa, even though they're like 5 years difference
5 years
between the two.
Yeah. But he's also like a wild partier and a womanizer.
Yep.
And that dude's out of control.
Yep.
Has a mouth on him for sure.
Yep.
Everyone's like, oh, what do you say? But and then like he'll say something off the wall and they're like, Fairy is a child? Can you not? And Fairy's like, huh?
What does that mean?
They're like, oh God, stop it, Aaron.
Yeah, you'll learn that when you're older.
Yeah, I love Aaron so much.
You get Rosette, who is definitely just a maid and nothing else.
Yep. She's a concierge, is what she.
20-year-old concierge. Nothing else weird about her.
Nope, nothing weird about her.
Very normal.
Hmm.
You meet Catra, who is a science man with a gun.
Yep, and a dog.
He has a dog, a robot dog with him. He's also a kid. He's like Agnes's age.
He's Agnes's age, I think.
Yeah. Judith is a famous actress. She just shows up and becomes a pal.
You know, casually.
Yeah. I like her and Van's dynamic with each other where they just like just talk each other the whole time.
I also really like their dynamic.
They're very good. Very good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Burgard, the old man.
The old man.
Just an old man, nothing else.
Nothing else. Van's mentor.
Van's mentor. Not nothing else.
Not nothing else. Definitely isn't relevant in any other series, game.
Definitely
anything.
Definitely have been alive this whole time.
Yep.
And then you have your antagonists that are led the Mafia of Almanta. So a bunch of weird.
That's one way to put it.
That's the way to put it.
I just looked it up, and Catra is 15 in Daybreak, 16 in Daybreak 2. Agnes is 16 in both of them, so they are pretty much the same age.
Yeah. And then like other notable characters, like you have Van's childhood friends Elaine and Renee.
They're fun.
Yeah. Elaine's a big up-and-coming bracer, mm-hmm. And Renee's working in, like, the Calvert FBI, essentially.
Yeah.
And then becomes, like, the president's right-hand man at some point. You're just like, okay.
Ooh.
But yeah, they're buds and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like,
but there's also some other stuff going on with those three.
Yes, a lot of drama-llama. Mm-hmm. With those three. Mostly because Van is like, I'm very secretive about my past.
Meh.
I can't and tell you what happened.
And it dropped out of school, and they were mad about it.
So yeah, that's kind of like your cast of characters, and then you're just the plot of this game is basically trying to resolve Anya's job, where she's trying to find these little things called the Genesis that were left by her great granddad. Who is Epstein.
I'll say he's kind of significant in the entire plot of Trails.
Yes. She basically finds like a journal, like talks about those and how they need to get all those together or else bad things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out bad things will happen if those are used in the wrong hands. Shocker, I know.
Melchior basically shows that off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of little but yeah. He's not a fun one. He's just a little
Big time. All right. Well, you want to dive into some spoiler talk?
Yeah, we've already spoiled a little bit, but let's do some full spoilers.
Yeah, so here you go. Here's some spoilers for you. We're not going to dive, like, probably super deep into every nook and cranny because, like, that would take us forever.
I do want to say before we go super, super spoilers, they definitely did a huge improvement in, like, LGBTQ stuff in this game.
Yes.
Like, representation. Like, my God, it was a step in the right direction. Like, nobody's really predatory. I think the closest you could get is maybe the bartender, but he's more, like, flirty and not predatory.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've got, like, a full-on side quest arc that involves... like a gay man. You've got several like gay men throughout this that are not treated as a joke. Across the spectrum of like good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
You've got. I'm 90% certain there's some kind of trans thing happening there, but I obviously not confirmed.
With Katja.
I wasn't going to say who it was, but yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it's all right. I don't think that's necessarily a big spoiler.
Yeah. But it seems to be hinting that way, but I also think it's like not a bad thing to not make it like that's part of my character and that's the only part of my character. Like it's just like
there's the thing where like when Katra meets Van and everyone, Van is like, "Hey, what should I like
how do I address you?
How do I address you?" Everyone's just like, wait, what? And Van's just like, I just want to know. I'm just asking here. Yeah. I don't want to like be rude or anything. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And despite what the Chuds say, it is actually very faithful to the Japanese version. What is also very faithful to the Japanese version is that they blatantly talk about white supremacy in this game.
Boy, howdy do they.
and that is in the Japanese version, that is in this version, that is not added in, and it is right all over the place of like, hey, maybe white supremacy is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, anyway, now we can go into spoilers. I just wanted to bring up that it was a good thing for Trails because like that's been something that they've been really not great about basically from the beginning.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see them moving in a direction where it's like, oh, okay. I see what you're doing. Also, just as a side note that has nothing to do with the story, they made fewer missables.
Yeah, like a lot of the quests are kind of just like, once you accept it, it's just like, boom, it's on your map. There you go.
Mm-hmm. And like any of the hidden ones, like they'll give you a hint that it's there.
Yeah.
And like, it's not, you don't have any of the situations where you have to like go talk to this random NPC, like at this certain time of day to get a book or anything. Like, it's just, they don't really do any of that. They streamlined it quite a bit more, which
and also if, like,
I appreciated.
If there's like a special like bonus scene, it'll just pop up on your map of like a little different marker. Like, hey, you should probably go look at this. And it's like, oh, cool. Bonus scene. And then it's like, all right, moving on. So I really
appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different, because the Trails series has been kind of known for having like really intense missable scenes and side quests and items and things like that. And I was like, okay, cool, nice. I like that we're streamlining it a little bit here. That's nice.
It's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, now we can go into spoilers.
All right, no more spoilers. That's all the spoilers we're going to talk about.
No!
That's it. Yeah.
No!
What do you want to talk about first?
How we went to the strip club with Aaron.
I mean, that was definitely a thing.
No, we shouldn't start there. I mean, I'm trying to think of where we should start, because the overall arc, you've already said, like, we're going to get these Genesees. We're working with Agnes, but like, obviously there's the underbelly stuff happening with the mafia, and Melchior is basically just like f***ing shit up left and right. And the other two is, well, I guess three, because there's the doll girl too. But you know,
Melchior is just a bad dude.
He's a bad dude.
Like, it's like, good. It's nice to see like a villain that's just not like, oh, we can make him kind of likable. Like, nah, dude,
right,
this guy sucks.
They just full tilt made him awful, mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, you know, they still have some of the characters that are like gray area, like, hey, you're probably a bad guy, but like, yeah, you're kind of like the goatee man.
Yes.
Like, he's obviously not a good dude.
Goatee man, but, from Ouroboros, who hangs out with the French lady.
Right. And like, he's obviously not a good dude at all. But like, there's some things in him, like, all right, you're kind of charming, I get you. But Melchior's not that.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a god awful person, and like, will do anything it takes to get on top, basically, including like seducing a guy.
Yep.
And you know, murdering entire squads, and I forget what else. He did a lot of garbage stuff. He was bad.
Bad.
Bad man. Setting up the whole thing in the underground area in the one town. Like, that was pretty gnarly.
Here's our weird battle royale game we're making.
Yeah. Kill each other. Yay! Also, you get no help from outside. Yay! Woo!
And if you do anything against the rules, we'll blow up the town. Yay!
Yay! Like, he sucks! It's gnarly.
I mean, this is also Hideo Kojima's Trails Through Daybreak, as we learn about the proliferation of nuclear warfare.
Man, I can't believe there are nukes and trails now.
It's very funny. They're just like, oh no, now we have nuclear weapons. I was like, what?
what
are you doing?
Yeah, and seeing a video of a dude get obliterated by a nuke is wild.
Yep. Whole town just wiped off the face of the map.
Yep.
Pretty gone. Tough. Yep.
There are nukes now.
Well, I guess not technically they're nukes, but they're not like necessarily viable per
right.
se, because they're like very incomplete and they need like a specific set of circumstances to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like just like I'm going to pull a nuke out of my butt and be like, bloop, bam.
Still, though, this is a little intimidating.
They exist. They exist.
Yep. One spoiler that I'm going to say, I guess we're still in spoiler zone, so it doesn't matter, but I'm very sad that it's no longer pronounced D, therefore G.
Yeah, I wonder if that was just like a weird localization thing where they just didn't know.
Yeah.
Because like, it's never...
It's never vocalized in Crossbell.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And it's never really brought up in the Cold Steel game, so
mm-mm.
There wouldn't have really been an opportunity for it to be pronounced like that, so I guess they just didn't know.
Yeah.
Or they were just like trying to streamline it and just make it easier.
Yeah, DG Cult just doesn't sound as cool as D, therefore G.
Yeah, but like once they like brought those guys up, I was like, oh, that's not
uh-oh.
Good. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
This is bad.
Yeah, and, you know, We've got Ren there, and I was like, oh,
Yeah.
they did bad things to her.
They sure did. They really definitely, I think if you're going to play this game, even though I know this isn't spoiler, so it's probably not the best place to say this, you should probably look up and remind yourselves of those like little epilogue stories they did in Reverie, because all of those come up in this game and are important.
Yep.
So like that's
Every
definitely
single one of
something
them.
you should go look up and remind yourself of, because I was like, I feel like this is familiar. I feel like this is familiar. And then I went back and like reread them. I was like, oh right, this happened, this happened, this happened. Nahone.
Yeah, like Ren took down that one dude with the help of Dingo.
And then Heechul comes back, and you gotta take him down again as Van. The Elaine stuff.
Obviously,
The Elaine stuff.
Elaine's
Yeah,
bracer.
it's not necessarily as important because they kind of just like talk about it in the game, but it's mostly just like her rising up the ranks as a bracer. And then,
She's in a Hazreen sword that she broke.
yeah, she's just carrying it around. It's like, hey, I got this sword. I got this piece of a sword. I liked her. She was very weird and dumb and just fun.
It's sort of unfair that she can just like look at Reen's move and learn it immediately.
You're like, I saw this once and I think I could do this now. Isn't that cool? It's like,
But at the
what?
same time, she's kind of a goblin, so I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I like you, girl. You're weird.
But the idea is she just pulls out like part of Reen's sword and is like,
Please.
hey, can you put this into like my sheath? And the Jason Voorhees looking dude's like, huh? All right. But yeah, I really liked how like she helps out Van at first when all the bad stuff happens, the pandemonium happens in the final chapter, and she's like the first one that shows up. Is like, hey, can I get a ride? Can we going to go around and do stuff? And like they get caught up in it, and that's how she runs around with him to help him out. And she's like, all right, I guess I'll help you out. Cool. Anyways, and then like once she gets some party members, she's like, I gotta go. See you later.
Bye.
But yeah, she's like a little goblin. I was not
She's such
expecting
a
that.
goblin.
Just show it up and be like, ooh, look at this. Fun times are happening. Yay. I don't want to be around my weird ninja friends. Yay.
Yay. And like she's, I guess, adjacent to Eight Leaves, One Blade, but not an actual practitioner.
They're like, it's like this, like a same, like overarching style,
Yes.
but like all those have like different branches essentially. So like they're like cousins essentially, but they're not
Yeah.
the same. Because I think she's like the one leaf or something. She said something. It was not the same as
It was
Reen's,
not the
but it was
same, but
definitely like the same. You knew it would come from like the same like overarching style essentially.
right. And she is a very, very different style of, like, I'm just gonna use this for convenience, but like Eight Leaves practitioner. Because like a lot of the other ones are like pretty serious. Let's see what she. Eight lead da, 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 ba, ba. Black God One Blade.
Yes.
So it's obviously a cousin, at least to Eight Leaves One Blade. But yeah, like, Reen has his goofy moments, but he's pretty serious and also depressed. And then Arios, is that his name? From Crossbell? Like he's hella serious all the time. And then Estelle's dad, he's kind of goofy, but he also gave it up. So he doesn't do that anymore. And then like Richard, who is part of it in Sky, is very serious. So like it's a different kind of take on that swordsman, if that makes sense. I have to ask you, what do you think about our gal Judith and her Phantom Thief Grimcat?
It's very funny.
So funny.
She's such a goblin
She's such a
who
goblin.
can't keep a secret to save her life.
I don't know how she has a secret identity.
That's a great question.
How is she not?
She keeps messing it up every time, and everyone's like,
I love that she's like pretending during the one part where like Aaron and Van went to the strip club, and there's like, yep, definitely not Judith. Nope.
Or when they go to the film studio.
Oh right.
Where that's the dungeon, and she's like, she's fighting with them, and then eventually she leaves. She runs through the door and then comes back as Judith. And she's like, "Oh, I found you guys!" And then everyone's like, "Bro, come
bro.
On!"
So funny.
Jeez.
His mentor is definitely. He's interesting. I don't know what to make of him yet, because he didn't get a lot of screen time.
Right, he's the last party member you get, so.
But he was a big deal because he, we first meet him, we didn't meet him actually, but we know of him in one of the Cold Steel side quests because he was like a traveling like priest that Reen and party kept having to like follow, and he kept being one step ahead of him at different places. Like, how is he moving around so fast? What is going on?
Oh, that guy.
That's, yeah. Do you remember that?
I do. Yes.
Yeah, that was him. But then he ended up being around Gaius and his family at one point, and there was an attack on the Nord Highlands, and he protected Gaius and died. But he also passed his stigma onto Gaius, so Gaius became like the replacement. What are those things called?
The Grawlsritter.
Yes, he became the replacement. He's the new version of him, but he wasn't dead. Turns out he's not dead.
He's just an old man now, just hanging out. And everyone
with a
that
motorcycle.
All the church people that are in this game are just like, "Hey, wait a minute."
He's like, "No, no, I'm just an old man.
I'm just an old man now, of course." Wink.
Please
Weak.
Ignore me.
Oh, man. Can I... Obviously, I know we're talking about main new characters here. Can I talk about my favorite side character in this game?
Absolutely.
The director.
The director.
I love... Obviously, like, he's just a little weird f***ing pervert dude.
Yeah, he is.
But I love by the end of the game, he's just hanging out in, like, the lawless area, just chatting it up with, like, all of these just shady people, and he's just having the time of his life.
He was having so much, like, he's got she's in a like bodyguard with him. He's like, huh, what is he doing here hanging out with him?
He's just hanging out with like members of Ouroboros and just like all of these like wild
and
people.
The Grawlsritter,
and just like, yeah, I'm having a great time.
Ben's like, is he gonna be okay? It's fine. I also actually really ended up enjoying Max's character, the race car driver.
Yeah, yeah. Because he definitely starts off as just like
a little
arrogant dude who's like, oh, I'm so cool. I'm famous. I'm a best race car driver out there. And like, you're just like, ah, this guy sucks. Whatever. And then he comes back and he's like, hey, can you help me out here? Like, I actually have like a legit problem here. Because he gets like photographed with Judith, and he's like, I don't want to be relating. Both of them are having a problem with that, but like he has a problem with it in particular. Because he's like, yo, I have like, I had like a relationship with this gal, and then like things happened and we broke it off. But then like, I just want to see, like, find her and everything, and just like see if she's okay and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, maybe I could win her back, maybe. And then Van the whole time is like, dude, I don't know about you.
I don't know about this. And I do want to say, like, in his whole explanation, he at least owns up to the things he did. And he's like, yeah, that wasn't okay. I cheated on her. That wasn't good. I didn't give her the love she needed. I didn't give her the time she needed. Like, I was a bad boyfriend, and that sucked. And I feel bad about that. And I want to try and be better this time. But also, I'm not going to tell you her name. And also, the only picture I have is buried in a time capsule. So please help me go unbury that in the woods that are scary with many, many monsters and spiders.
Yeah, so it's very funny that you go do that. And then, like, you find the photo, and everyone's like, What? Are you kidding me? And he's like, what? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's going on? And they're like, everyone just like knows who it is. And he's just like, huh? Huh?
Huh?
They're like,
huh?
Oh, yeah, we know who this is.
Yeah, yeah.
We kind of live next to her. He's like,
she's our landlady, basically.
So, yeah, he gets to reunite with her. He gets to meet, what's her name? The little gal, Yume,
who kicks him behind the knees.
Yep. Just being a little shit to him.
Yep.
And he's like, they're like, oh, by the way, that's probably your kid, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, her dad as well is just like, go away. But, yeah, like, he's, like, definitely, like, you see from that moment on to the rest of the game, like, he's trying. He is trying to do better. He's trying to, like, you know, show that, like, he cares about them, trying to show that, like, he could be, like, in their lives and not, like, mess this up again. Like, he is trying. And I was like,
he's genuinely trying to get to know Yume,
you.
Too.
Yeah.
Which was good. And I... one of my favorite moments of this entire subplot was that, like, after this whole thing, they meet up. She's like, you know, I don't know if I really know you, so this is weird. But then she, like, gives a hint of, like, hey, maybe, you know, I do actually know him, but whatever, just keep doing your thing. But then they give him a steak. And he's just, like, cutting the steak and crying. He's like, it's so salty. And Yume's like, why are you crying,
yep.
sir? He's got, like, his sunglasses on.
It's very good.
He's like, okay, you know what? I don't hate this guy. If he f***s anything up in the following games, then it's over, but...
he's doing his best.
He's doing his best in this one. I was like, you know what? I appreciate that he realized, like, I really did wrong by her and I want to try and make it up. But, like, he's not just like, well, I'm going to ignore the kid and only try and get in her good graces. It's like,
yeah.
No, that's my kid. Like, I gotta learn who she is, too. And
this is a package deal. I don't have one without the other.
Right. Like, he like, invites them and takes them out to the big, like, party event, which is cute. He does have to take a detour to go street race, but...
Yeah.
You know.
But also, like, you know, at the end of the game as well, he's, like, very concerned for them and, like, trying to protect them. And then
yes.
He does get to reunite with them at the end. He's very happy.
Yes.
Like, everyone's happy for that.
Yeah, yeah. I actually really enjoyed him. I didn't expect to like him as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
I also really liked Renee.
Yeah. I was expecting the other shoe to drop for him to do something super shady and like that be
uh-huh.
a big twist.
Uh-huh.
But he hasn't done that yet.
Nope,
so,
not yet.
I mean, I don't know if that's actually going to be a thing or not, but like, yeah, I do like how, you know, the three of them, Van, Elaine, and Renee have like a really good bond, even though like, you know, mm-hmm. things obviously have happened to them in the past and everything, but like still like their bond grows kind of back to at least more normal-ish as the game goes on and they're able to like
mm-hmm.
trust in each other and work together.
You get the nice scene on the rooftop where they're, mm-hmm. like, talking about everything and, like, actually trying to talk it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, obviously, like, Elaine is very hurt because Van disappeared in high
school.
Twice
on her.
Twice, yeah, I guess. Because as a kid and they came back in high school and disappeared again. And they dated.
Mm-hmm.
And now he kind of, like... they have an interesting dynamic.
Yes.
Because he tries not to, like, step on her toes or be around her too much because he doesn't want to, like, upset her.
Mm-hmm.
But she obviously, like, doesn't really care that much that he's, like, in the gray area of Spriggan. She just wants to hang out with him. And wants him to be okay. Like, that's the big thing. Like, she's worried about him because he, you know... she probably should be worried about him.
Yeah.
So I ended up liking Elaine more than I expected that I would. Because
mm-hmm.
at first she just kind of seemed like, oh, okay. She's like the perfect swords lady, blah, blah, blah. But she grew on me quite a lot.
All the characters also are just trying to push those two together.
I mean.
Which is not wrong, but it's just very
it's
funny
wrong.
How everyone's just like, come on.
And another thing that I do appreciate is that, like, Agnes very obviously and very blatantly has feelings for Van.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there are multiple times where he's just like, nah, you're a kid.
He knows better.
And I'm like, good, good. Don't let this man be a pervert. Like, does this mean we're finally learning? Like, hey, maybe don't have grown men date high schoolers? Is this where we're learning?
I hope so.
I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what's going to happen in the next two games, and I don't know where they're going to go with it. But
hopefully not in a bad direction. Hopefully this is the sign of like, hey, we know what we're doing.
Right. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because like, it's been moving in the right direction in many ways, like I said, with like LGBTQ and like generally being better about certain things. So like, maybe we're going to move in the direction of like, hey, let's not have grown men date high schoolers.
Yeah.
Where we're moving in a bad direction is Rishia's boobs.
They just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger with each game.
Yeah, but they're
it
also like kind of flat
so
now.
So ridiculous.
Like they're very out there, but like the way that they're sticking out, they're somewhat flat. From her chest. It's very strange.
It's obviously a weird thing that they did from like porting her model from the Crossbell games into 3D. And mm-hmm. I just don't think they ever got it right. And now it just looks absolutely ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
There
I feel
are
like
multiple
they just keep getting
like,
bigger
camera shots where it's just like her like from the side. And it's just like, that's not how that works at all. That's
no.
Unless those are like incredibly fake and like she's got like the best way to like keep those like that. But other than that, no, that's not how this works.
No, like that's not how boobs work.
It's comical at this point.
It really is. Like it's annoying.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
because I like her as a character, but like
I do, but
it's
like
just
every time
ridiculous
she's on there, I'm
to
just
see
like,
her every time, just like, oh boy.
Like I'm gonna send you a thingy in our little chat here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the people that are listening to us will not see this. But this was her in Cold Steel 2.
Which I think looks fine.
It looks fine. Like, she very obviously is busty.
Yeah, it looks more like how her, like, Crossbell model would look.
Right. So I don't know, like, why couldn't we stick with something like that?
And now it's just like, they've taken them, they've inflated them more, and they just turned them upwards. And it's like, how does that work?
It sucks because I really like her. And I'm just like, oh, God, every time she's on screen, like, all I can see is her weird boobs.
It's so ridiculous. And even, like, if you compare her to, like, some of the characters in this game that are busty, it's just like, they don't even compare.
No.
Not even close.
Like, Agnes is busty. But, like, if you look at her... You look at Rishi and you're like,
I don't know what happened here or where things went wrong, but yeah,
something went horribly wrong. It is wild. Also, I realized we forgot to mention that Resist is like a robot, basically.
Yeah, that was funny to learn.
She gets repaired by some goo.
They're just like, oh, you're a robot. And everyone's just like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yay.
He's like, okay. It was fun to see Rin as like a prominent side character again, especially mm-hmm. now that she's older.
Right.
It's always wild to me to think that like she's like, I guess she's probably the most like shown up character that's shown up in all these games, maybe?
Yes.
Or like high up there in terms of like characters that have shown up in all of the games.
It used to be Olivier, and now it's her.
But yeah, it was fun to see her like as an older self and just knowing, you know, her story and everything and just watching her be a little mischievous teenager messing with Agnes and like her student friends and all that sort of stuff and messing with Van and everything. And everyone just be like, oh, you there's something about this girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's got some stuff behind her. Like, she just like shows up randomly, like hanging out with the Ouroboros crew, and just being like, "Oh yeah, we're just reminiscing and everything, just you know, having a good chat." And I like how like I think there's a conversation later where like Walter's talking about like Like, hey, no, she ain't a part of our crew anymore, but, like, I always look out for her. Like, that kid's good.
Yeah.
I like that kid. So it was, like, it was nice to see that, like, even though, like, she's gone from that group, like, those people still, like, care about her because, like, they've seen her literally grow up in front of them. So, like, you know. I think it's a very interesting dynamic that we see of Ouroboros in this game. I think in particular, just because like we talked about earlier, like they're not really in the forefront in terms of being like antagonists in this game. They're just kind of, they're here doing weird, shady things, but like they're just kind of, they also are more helpful in this game than they are not helpful.
Right. So I did actually really like what you were bringing up, that they're like, oh, hey, Rin, you know, what's up? They just want to check in with her, see how she's doing.
Yeah.
I also still think it's so funny that Rin has a PhD and she just decided, like, hey, what if I just go back to
high school? Well, you know, I need a civilian. I need to be undercover, of course, just in case anything happens here.
Right. But honestly, it's probably the best thing for her because, like, she was robbed of a childhood.
Yeah, she gets to experience this stuff now.
Yeah, like, she gets to be, like, a somewhat as normal of a high school kid as you can be in this world. Also when you're like a famous hacker and all that fun stuff and a previous Ouroboros member. But like, I feel like that's good for her. I was happy to see it.
Also
I sent you a thing about how Judith has big booba, but it doesn't look stupid.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like those are big booba.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not like.
Yep. I think my one thing I will say about this game that might be considered kind of negative.
Okay. Hit me.
I think a lot of the side stuff and the side characters and like all the character stuff is a lot more interesting in this game than the main story.
No, I agree.
I mean, and that's the thing of just like the fact that this is the first game in a new arc and everything. So, like, it's a lot of setup and build and everything. So, like, you kind of understand that going in that, like, it's not going to be as gripping storytelling-wise.
Right.
As you might expect. But I thought, like, if you compare this to, like, you know, Cold Steel 1 or Crossbell 1, I think those games do the first game a little bit better in terms of, like, an overall narrative and everything.
Right.
Like, I can't speak to Trails in the Sky yet. I'll speak to that when we play the remake. Which I would assume probably does kind of something similar, but this one I felt like the main story's fine, but it felt very weird. It felt very odd in the fact that, like, here's this mafia of all things, like, going around and causing so much chaos in this country, and, like, we know of all these other characters that are in this continent that could just come in and just wipe them off the face of the earth immediately.
Right, immediately.
This. We'd be done with this. We would not have a game. It would just be one chapter and be like, all right, cool, we're done. So I felt like that was kind of weird.
I also feel like Melchior was the only interesting antagonist.
Yeah,
Like, the other ones, like, what was his name? Gerard, the main boss
Dante's.
Man? Like, I didn't give a shit about him.
Yeah.
Like, he was boring as heck. Like, the two people who we met when we were dealing with Aaron, the only characterization we got from them was when they were, like, begging us to kill them.
Right.
But otherwise, they were pretty boring. The doll girl was kind of the same way. But I was like, you guys really aren't that interesting.
Melchior definitely, like you said, is the MVP of that group. Because, like, he's much more of a character and he's much more of a villain than all of them, for sure.
Right. Like, he feels like more of a threat than any of them. Like, even the main villain, he feels like more of a threat.
Yeah. And I thought, like, the van stuff at the end was also kind of odd. It definitely
I wish
felt
we'd had Mill build up to it.
Yeah, it definitely felt like they're kind of trying to do the Cold Steel thing of, like, surprise at the end, but, like, it's just like, all right, you got a demon in you, okay. And somehow, I guess that demon's going to, like, do bad things if you keep it inside you, even though you kept it inside you as a kid forever. And you were fine, I guess.
Right.
And then I thought that was going to be the big cliffhanger, is that, like, oh, okay, well, Van
demon form
gets
stuck.
It back, and then he goes away, and then the next game is going to be like, okay, we got to go get him back, kind of like how, like, Cold Steel 4
right.
opens up. I was trying to think if that was the right game or not.
That is the correct game, correct, yes.
But then they just resolve it in this game, and I was just like, oh. Okay.
Okay.
Sure. And then, yeah, so that was kind of weird and everything. So, yeah, like the main story stuff is fine. It's just not, I think, the most interesting. And like the Genesis stuff is like not, it's not resolved. So I can't really say one way or the other. But like,
and neither is the mayor stuff.
Not the mayor stuff isn't. There's that weird thing with Nina that we see very briefly at
one point. Oh, yeah.
And that's just not even addressed at all. It's just like, that seems a little weird, but okay.
Obviously, the new president is a thing that they've got to talk about.
I did laugh when he just showed up in a mech at one point. So I was like, all right, cool. He's like, hello,
also,
fellow
Calvardians.
Calvardians. He sure does give a rousing USA speech when he's like talking about his military might and everything. Even though Calvert is just France and the Middle East kind of combined together.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely does some rah-rah America stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, him being Agnes's dad, like...
And then him, like,
I feel
we said
like we're
going
to come into conflict at some point.
Yeah, like we said earlier, he has that deal with Ouroboros that we saw at the end of four Reverie, one of those games.
I think it was Reverie.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, I think the main story was okay. It just wasn't as gripping or anything. And then I think the lack of a big cliffhanger kind of also hurts it a bit because, like...
Yeah.
Like there are, like we said, there are unanswered questions that are going to be answered in the next game. Like there's a final Genesis that needs to be found. There's the stuff with Mare, probably more Van stuff, all the stuff we just talked about with, you know, the president, all that.
And I wonder if this game will hit harder once we know some of those answers.
Yeah, it totally could. It's a possibility. I think just at now, in the moment, it falls a little flat in comparison to, you know, other games in the series. That are like the building block for a new story and all that sort of stuff. But I did I liked a lot of these characters. I liked a lot of like the side stuff in particular, where you got to see the characters be just weird little goblins at points and just have like these weird stories that intersected throughout the rest of the game and the rest of these side characters and everything. So I thought that was a lot of fun. It's an interesting world and everything. I just wish there was like a little bit of a better story throughout.
Yeah. And I also enjoyed that you could do stuff like go to the movies with your teammates and like get dumb commentary from them. Like,
yeah,
take Aaron to a movie. And he's like, man, them boobs, huh?
take your pals out to go watch a Mishi horror film.
Oh my god, I was on the call with you when you saw the Mishi horror film.
I did
like,
not
oh.
know what to expect. I was just like, what is happening here?
I was so excited for you to watch that one when you picked it. I was just like, oh. What's Jared going to think about this? What's Jared going to... Because you think it's going to be a Toy Story type thing.
And then nope.
No, scary. It's a horror film.
Spooky. So yeah, that's fun. Let me see if there's any other characters I want to talk about. I was very excited when Killica showed up again. I was like, wait, is that Killica? That's Killica! Let's go!
Killica,
I really
liked
her in Crossbell. I know she's in the Sky series as well, but I know her from Crossbell because she's the ones I played.
She gets more characterization in Crossbell than she does in Sky.
So yeah, I was very excited to see her show up. Who else? I like the old president just being
a farmer
with a shotgun from Dragon Ball Z Episode 1.
That was so funny. And we also get the, I think his name's Cody, like the kid that in one of the side quests in Cold Steel.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, he's one of the ones who's like in the runaway, or he's a runaway dude in the tunnels under Heimdall that you have to chase around. Do you remember there's a side quest where like Reen calls on like basically every like heavy hitter he knows of that's like not in his party? So you have like Claire and Olivier and I forget who else is there, but it's like Redhead. Worked under his dad.
I know who you're talking about. I just cannot think of his name right now.
Why can't I think of his name? Lecter, yes. Like
in his party suit.
Yeah, like Reen just calls together like this weird group of people and it's like, hey, so there's a dude from Calvard who like ran away and like we can't figure out what's going on because he's got this weird like device that he's cloaking.
I think I vaguely remember this now.
That's him. That's Cody. That's the guy that's like protecting the president that is like, I hate Van.
Everyone hates Van. Like he hates Van. The two from the church hate Van.
Yeah.
Van's just like, what did I do to these people?
Which I'm interested to see what happens with those two from the church.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we got some Kevin references in this game, so we know he shows up in the
we got
third
patched in references
game.
To Kevin.
Does he yes, show up? Do we know if he shows up in the second game or is it just the third?
I only know of the third.
Okay, yeah, that's what I know
not,
as well.
Not
so.
Not Sky the third, but the Kai.
Yes, the third of this game, of this arc, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the box art.
Yeah. Good old Kevin.
Kevin!
Pal Kevin.
I still think it's hilarious that he had to be patched in because they forgot him in that art. Like, the whole joke is that they always forget Kevin exists.
Mm-hmm.
They literally forgot that Kevin existed in that art.
Very funny.
Like, that's the reason why his art is, like, an older style compared to the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks different.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have an art for him yet. It's like, oh my God.
He's
you
like,
guys!
Hey!
Be nice to Kevin! You know what? Kevin is basically Kevin from Home Alone.
I don't know what to think about that.
He gets forgotten all the time. He's got all these weird plans to take people out. He's get protected. Probably went to hell at one point. All good, you know. Uses a crossbow.
I wonder if they're going to get his same voice actor to show up for or to reprise the role in the third game or not. I mean, to be fair, his voice actor is in this game, so
who
it's
was his
it's
voice actor?
Keith Silverstein.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Show me some new Kevin. Oh, man, there's Kevin art in the third where he's wearing a mask.
What?
He's got his hair slicked back in Trails in the Sky the third.
Oh, yes, that
he's
is like, true.
He's doing a party look.
Yes, that is true.
It's very good.
That is the very opening of the third.
Here's the ending visual that he shows up in. With all the church people, you know, where there's Wazzy back there. There's the professor man. There's Gaius. The two new people, old man.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fun.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot of mysteries that have to be cleared up. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Like, a lot of the main stuff, I was just like, eh. It's fine, but then I really enjoy like getting to know the characters and like their side stories, and I feel like that was a very strong part of this game.
I forgot Kevin was also in the anime, like a very brief cameo.
I watched it and I don't remember.
He just shows up to buy some food.
That sounds about right.
He's buying food with the lady he's always with.
The nun lady?
Yeah.
Rias.
She's eating bread. And he's like, what if I buy food?
I mean, that's her thing, is that
I'm
she
Kevin.
Eats all the time.
I sent you an image of Kevin in the third game, so you can see his new outfit. Look at how snazzy he looks.
He looks so good!
But we'll get to, I mean, obviously we're going to get to that in a while from now. Probably 2026, I would assume.
Or maybe late 2025?
Maybe, if we're lucky, I guess. But I would more assume it's going to be 2026.
They toned his hair down quite a lot.
Yeah.
It's not as spiky anymore. Look at that boy. Look at that boy.
Look at that cat. I like how we're talking about Kevin, even though like there's a second game coming. He's not into that.
He's not in it. He's... but like we also know like Nina's definitely going to be a big deal because she's on the box art for the third game.
Well, there you go. So that's interesting.
Like, have you seen the box art for the third game?
I mean, I could look at it right now.
Is Kaino Kiseki?
Show me box art. Open image in new tab. Okay, so there's Van and Anya's. Is that?
Oh, I sent it to you.
Oh,
oops.
Okay, well, that's fine. Let me see if your image is better. Okay, this is a little bit better. I can't zoom in as much, but it's fine.
Right.
Van Anya's, Kevin, random lady.
That's
Nina?
The Grandmaster.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Nina, maybe? Question mark, I guess?
That's Nina.
So that would, interesting. And then, who's that man next to Kevin there?
I think that was one Rean Schnauzer.
Rean Schnauzer? Oh, no. So, yeah.
He's back.
We'll find out about what Rean Schnauzer's up to, older Rean Schnauzer, mm-hmm. in the third game. But, yeah, we got the second game coming. Spend your Valentine's Day with Van and the crew.
Yeah.
Next year.
One last thing that I wanted to say before you do your wrap up.
That's fine.
One of the things that they mentioned in this game is that Van was kind of like behind the scenes in some of the other games doing things.
Yes.
I wonder if when they do the Sky remake and potentially Sky remakes, if they like put him into some background scenes like they did with the Crossbell re-releases where they put like Toa and Yuna.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In scenes.
That'd like, be cool. That
would be so cool, right? If you just, like, even if he's, like, a minor character in the background, like...
I think that would be a good idea, because, like you said, there's precedent for this already, and it would really make it much more of, like, a cohesive thing.
Mm-hmm. So like, I think that'd be super cool.
Yeah, I think they should definitely do that.
Mm, I agree.
When does that... Does the Sky remaster or remake have a release date?
I think they just said 2025.
I think that's as well, but I don't know... Like, I didn't know if it was just, like, if they had dated it yet.
No, just 2025.
2025.
So, you know, 2025 might be a really good year to be a Trails fan.
Well, I wonder if, because that's going to come out in 2025 as well, if that means that
the Kai third gets game pushed.
Will be 2026 at that point then.
It's possible.
Because that would mean there'd be two games. And you would presume probably that's going to be the later in the year game.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, because, I mean, they didn't even have, like, an English trailer for it yet.
No.
which, I mean, the good thing is, I guess, is that, like, for the most part, there's already a script and translation, unless they change things.
Yeah, I guess that is the thing, because how much are they going to change in terms of, like, scenes and all that sort of stuff compared to the original?
If they add, like, Van and scenes, yeah. Then they have to add that kind of stuff. But
or add, like, just more new content as well, like, more, like, side stuff or whatever.
Right. I just think it'd be a really cool thing to see him in some background scenes. Cause like,
yeah, I think that's a great idea.
He mentioned a few times, like, hey, I helped you out, Rin, like when things were happening.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that'd be cool to see him just kind of like hanging around
little guy,
just
Van.
A little guy.
So yeah, I think that'd be a cool idea.
Yeah. Cause he's only like, what, a year or two older than Rin? How old is Rin? Rin, how old are you now?
Rean Schnauzer. They're around the same age. I think Van.
He's 23 in Kai, so he's 2 years older than Rean.
Well, I guess I don't know how old Van is in Kai. Like, what's the time difference between this game and that game?
Oh, let's see if I can do some things without getting spoiled.
that's the problem with this.
Okay, so he's 24 in Daybreak. He's 25 in Daybreak 2 in Kai.
Okay, so 2 years older.
2 years older.
Okay. There you go.
So that would make him also 2 years older than the Sky crew.
Yeah. There you go.
And Lloyd.
Good old Lloyd.
Lloyd.
Loves to fish. Fishing, not in this
no
game.
Fishing in
not
this
in
game.
This game. Fishing in two. Don't worry. Fishing is coming in two.
There's fishing coming. They teased me. They let me fish once.
I almost missed the fishing because I didn't see it at first, even though you told me, hey, be on the lookout for fishing.
They only let me fish once in this whole game.
It's so weird that they don't have fishing, considering like all the other games have fishing.
Every single game
and there's
up to
so
this
many
point
places
had fishing.
That you could go fish in this game.
There's water everywhere.
So weird.
I was so mad.
But yeah, do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap up, or besides that you want to see Van in the Sky remake?
Van likes truck.
Van likes truck.
Van truck turns into SUV.
Van likes truck. Aaron thinks there's nothing better than hanging out with the boys in a hot tub.
How did we not bring that up?
We just did. Maybe the funniest line I've ever read in a Trails game. Also, it's very funny that comes after like 10 minutes after the fact that Aaron and Van are in the hot tub together, or in the hot bath together, like the hot springs together. And yep. Aaron just looks at him like, did I get you hard?
Look, there's a noodle.
Dude, what the f*** are you doing?
Well, because Aaron, like,
he does his whole like routine on him.
Right. He's I forget there's a name for it specifically, but he's an actor who plays women.
Yes.
So he does his like seductive woman routine on Van. He's like, did I get you hard?
Did I get you hard? And just like, dude. And then he just stills at the catcher afterwards.
Hanging c***s out with the boys.
Nothing better than hanging c***s out with the boys in the hot bath.
I also do think it's funny, and apparently this was the way in Japanese too, that they like...
They bleep it out.
They bleep that one out, and then they bleep out one of the ones that the director says.
Yes, I think that's very good. Like, obviously, I think it would be funnier if like you just heard him just say c***s. Obviously, you're not going to hear it in this podcast either, but...
Nope.
Bleeping things is a very good comedic thing to do.
It really is.
So I think that was a very good thing.
And God, did I laugh
a lot when I saw that line.
I lost it laughing when he said that. It's probably one of my favorite lines in this entire game.
Oh, man.
And also, like, an interesting thing to say to a guy who may be trans.
And also in a car full of women as well.
Also that, and one of them is a child. And she's like, chickens, huh?
He has no filter and just never will.
He has zero filter. I adore him. He's so funny.
Oh, man.
Well, and like, Sal doesn't know what to do with him. And
no one does.
Ashen doesn't know what to do with him. Van doesn't know what to do with him.
Well, I can't wait to get more interesting Aaron thoughts in Trails Through Daybreak 2.
He's just going to talk to somebody like he did that one science lady and he's like...
In less than 3 months.
Man, you're all boobs and no brain, huh? That's the way I like them. Yeah, there you go. I still hit it. It's like, oh my God, Aaron. Aaron, please.
Boy.
Aaron, please. I told you when you first started, I was like, Aaron is the best character.
You weren't wrong.
I'm not wrong. The only character that like I didn't really... Well, I guess there are two. Fairy, I wasn't like big on, and then
but she doesn't really get much characterization.
She doesn't, and then Rizette didn't really get a whole lot either.
No,
but the rest of them, I was like, okay, I'm in. Let's see what you do, kids. But mostly Aaron.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
That's all you got. All right. Well, that is Trails Through Daybreak. Al has been, like I said, waiting for 4 months to talk about this game. And now she finally got to get everything off her chest.
Yay! I took time off in what month was it? June, July. I took time off to play this game. It was great.
Also, this happened when you were moving, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Of course.
Woo!
So yeah, that's going to do it for us this week. Next time, that's a different podcast where I go into that part.
Yep.
If you'd like more from us, head on over to seasonlangmecheckup.com or scc.cool is where you can find past episodes of this podcast and other podcasts like Jared and Al Watch. You can also find columns and reviews on the site as well. If you'd like more from AnnLadium, go to AnnLadium.com. She's got columns and reviews. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Anime Checkup. Follow us on Blue Sky at SeasonalAnimeCheckup.com. You can buy our books, One Shiny Moment, A Critical Analysis of Love, Life, Sunshine, Hot Tubs, and Pac-Man on Amazon.com. You can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/SACOVA buys a slice of pizza. Get access to unedited versions of the podcast early. Our Patreon exclusive bonus podcast, which we probably should do soon.
Oh, yeah, we probably should.
So, yeah, look forward to a new episode of that coming soon.
Soon.
And then there's a bunch of good bonus content on there as well. Well worth your monies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Next week we have, let's see here, two regular episodes left in the year.
Wow.
So we'll talk about something. We'll figure out some things to talk about.
Figuring out game of the year now.
Yeah, we got time. We got like a month to figure that out. It's fine. We'll figure out something. I have an idea of what we might talk about next week, but you know, we'll figure out what we're gonna do.
Okay, tell me after we finish.